Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for listening in to another episode of the IKG, the I'ma Keep Going podcast. And my name is Eric. As always, you could have been anywhere else in the world, but you chose to be here listening to me, little old me, and I truly appreciate that. So this one is an action-packed episode, y'all. The intent was to only interview my guest, which is Angie Mitchell from the Sincerely Angie podcast, fellow resident of the IKG. I mean, she's been here several times before. The goal was only to have a conversation with her about finances and money and everything for like, you know, 30, 45 minutes or so. Well, as of course, it ended up extending out to almost an hour and a half, because that's what happens when you connect with people and just have a grand old time with them. You know, Angie is one of my really dear friends, and she always has a plethora of knowledge when it comes to money, making better money decisions, making smarter money decisions, and just overall being cognizant of what you spend, how you spend, and how you can maintain some type of financial stability. She's good, y'all. Very good. So sit back and relax and enjoy this amazing episode. Oh, by the way, Happy New Year to you. I forgot to mention that at the top of the show. Happy New Year. You know, 2023 was an interesting year for a lot of us. Some wins and some lessons, but overall 2024 is primed and ready to be amazing for you if you just have that mindset. So one of the reasons why we decided to do this episode is so we can get you prepared financially for 2024. And if you're already in a rut and everything like that, hopefully some of the tools and some of the knowledge that Angie and I were able to provide to you can help you become much more financially stable, much more financially free, and much more cognizant of where you spend your money and stuff. So, yeah, it's a great one, y'all. Sit back and relax and listen to this episode of Making Money Moves with Angie Mitchell.
Talking about the entire, like, when was the last time we recorded? Last year, like February or something?
So close to 2 years ago, basically.
Damn. This don't make no damn sense, man.
It's trifling. It's actually really sad.
But what's going on, though? What's going on with you?
We're starting the new year off right, though. We're here on January 1st. And we're recording an episode on New Year's Day. Like, today is New Year's Day. It's the new year, and we're recording. So that's to let you know what's to come.
Yes,
100%. Recording in progress.
Uh-oh, I actually forgot to press the record button. My bad.
Oh, we can start over.
No, we still got, I still got my backup recording, so.
Because you're a professional. You're right.
And ears.
Happy 2024.
I know, right? Happy 2024 to you. How you been?
I'm wonderful.
Yeah? What you got going on with you?
This year, well, currently I am in a season of, I'm grabbing myself by the neck and ringing myself up and saying, girl, get it together. Because last year, money-wise, I wowed out. Like, I didn't have any home training last year. None was. And I found out some things, like, just some things that I was doing. It was causing me to kind of, like, double calculate things. And I'm like, I was wondering how I was getting this number. And I'm like, I couldn't have never spent this amount of money in 1 year, and oh my God, we'll get into it. But yeah, lessons have been learned, trust me. And as much as I talk about money and as good as I am with money, I did the most last year.
Really?
No home training whatsoever.
So, you know, I think all of us were kind of in that boat. I was actually talking to Tawna earlier today about that, and she was like, I made so much money this year. I made X amount of dollars this year, and I don't know where the hell any of that went. And I'm like, I don't think anybody knew where it went, because we all kind of balled out of control last year. Like, you know, because we're so used to being able to say, okay, you know what? Let me just swipe the card right quick. I can get that.
Yes.
You know, and I think a lot of us kind of went out of control, which is why for the new year, we're looking to kind of get back into the groove of saving, managing your money properly, you know, just being a lot more efficient when it comes to keeping money and being more strategic when it comes to continuing to keep money, you know? So, yeah. So that's why I got you here right now.
Oh, yeah. So where do we start? Do you want to talk about you? Do you want to recap me over the last year? Or what are we doing? Because we want to talk about one thing I know for sure. But outside of that, to just kind of quickly recap, it doesn't have to be long, but just to kind of help me help somebody to save them from making my mistakes, hopefully.
Right. So you can go first. You'll go first.
All right. So last year, I didn't have any specific money goals as far as saving, because we all know that I am like a saver. I love to save. I love to just watch the money grow and put it in different places to see the interest rates and how much I can get from this, how much I can get from that, and as well as investing. So I have TD Ameritrade, as well as I have Robinhood, and I have a few of the other, like the crypto apps and stuff like that. So I have my money going into a few different places as far as like investing. So I said, I'm tired of saving this year. I want to invest more. So my savings goal turned into me just investing all year. And then at some point, I didn't invest because I was spending. And so the extra money that I was supposed to use to save, I was paying my credit card bill because I was just swiping at the restaurants and drinks and swipe. So I think all of my money last year went on food and drinks and partying, like having a good time. So I really messed up because I didn't have a true financial goal as far as the investing. I knew that I did want to hop into the five figures with investing, which I accomplished that, but I also wanted to save in the process of investing, because you know there's other things that are happening in my life that I want to save for, that I'll utilize that money for in the next coming years, and then there are some things that I want to do, you know. So year 40 is coming. Turning 40 in a couple of months.
Yes.
And I want to travel. Not want to. I'm traveling all year. I have like 5 trips already planned. 4 are out of the country and 1 is within the States. But so with that, I wanted to make sure I paid for all of my trips last year. And then this year, all I would have to do is just use my own money to just go on the trips, which I kind of did, but not really. So that was one of my mistakes, by not having a true goal in mind with the saving and investing. And then also a few of the companies that I am associated with, they came out with these really good rates for CDs. So I did tie some of my money up in CDs so I can take advantage of the 5% interest rate, you know, for the money being in that account.
Mm-hmm.
So my main mistake was not having a specific number, because that's usually what helps. Like I said, 5 figures, but I didn't say how deep into the 5 figures. So I just crossed the line. You know, I didn't jump over it. I just kind of like walked slowly over the 5-figure line. So it's like I should have done better in that regard. I know it's powerful when you write things down. I know that it is more beneficial when you have a specific number in mind that you can attain, and I didn't do that. So I was able to invest and get over the 5-figure mark, and I was able to save, but the savings wasn't what I expected it to be when I did my figures, because at December 31st and January 1st, I calculated everything I needed to calculate, and it's like, yeah, I missed the mark. I had a number in my mind, but I never actually wrote that number down.
Mm. Yeah, and...
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
And one of my other mistakes was when I calculated my bills monthly or biweekly, I also calculated credit cards into my bills. Like that I was paying the credit card as a bill, but in the process, I was paying some of my bills with the credit card. So the same bill that I had, I included that with my credit card. So I'm doubling up. So it's like I'm paying, okay, let's just say I paid one bill for $150. So I have that bill labeled as $150. And then when I pay the bill with my credit card is $150. So I was double adding, you know, you get what I'm saying? Like I was adding it twice versus separating bills from credit cards. And I did that like halfway into the year. I'm like, wait a minute, girl, what are you doing? Because I'm wondering like why my numbers are so tight at the end of the month. I'm like, what? I don't understand. And that's what it was. I was double counting myself for whatever reason. I was so interested in the credit card points that I'm like credit card swiping and then just not paying attention. So when I do my final number, so that was a huge mistake for me, but I was able to go back and recalculate some things and get myself together. But we make money mistakes too.
Right. And you were able to right size it like during half the year, right? Half the year, you were able to say, okay, you know what? I need to go ahead and just kind of recalculate this and readjust the way that I'm spending this. Right. So I get you. I get you 100%.
But you know, we're our own worst critics. So I beat myself up for the better part of almost the last 6 months. Cause I'm like, girl, how did you miss that? And then when I was talking to Yanni, she was asking me something about budgeting. I was like, look, now, don't count your expenses as a bill, because listen, I was counting my expenses and my credit card and bills. All of that was at the same thing. And it was, that's not what you want to do. I said, so make sure you separate it. So yes, you want the credit card points, but don't put yourself in a negative doing it by adding incorrectly. And that's what I did. So,
right. And continuing to just, yeah. And continuing to just, like, everything is compounding at that point. You know, you're adding more, adding more, adding more. And then you realize like, oh shit, I didn't spend, I got like $4,000 in debt now. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, no, it's not really. It's just a miscalculation. Mm-hmm. You're not paying attention. But that's another thing I learned this year, that I needed to just sit down and focus, because I, like, just my normal everyday antennas weren't working like they usually are. Like, I would miss small things. And I'm like, how did I miss that? And it's because I was preoccupied mentally with all these other things that I have a desire for, that I'm going to do, that I want to do. And I'm doing all of these things mentally and then not really paying attention to everything that's in front of me. And so I'm making small mistakes. And so I just had to sit down and say, girl, you have to focus and be more specific.
Right. Well, again, kudos to you for being able to catch that, because here it could have been at the end of the year and you like, you really missed the mark, you know, but you were able to kind of catch it halfway and say, you know what, let me right size this.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Like, and I was 6 months in, it has to have been 5 or 6 months. And I'm like, I can't be in a negative every month as far as like the extra money. This is outside of my income. Y'all know I already do. Most of the things I do are outside of the income. So my incoming funds and my outgoing funds, like the money that I get randomly versus the money that I'm spending on a daily, I wasn't getting enough, but I was spending more than that. And I'm like, how am I in a negative all of these months? Like, that's not normal. So I'm looking at the numbers and I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Like, I'm not getting in as much as I got last year, but I'm still receiving money from other, you know, places and resources. Mm-hmm. I just could not understand why I was negative, because I have the sheet is on my website. It's the 30-day spending tracker is what I utilize. So on one side you have incoming funds and on the other side you have outgoing funds. So you should always want to be receiving more than you're spending. But on my outgoing funds, it's like every date of the month I'm spending and buying something. But then on the incoming side, it's like every 2 or 3 weeks, then I'll have an incoming number. And it's like, oh no. So yeah, you got to do something. And I realized when I was looking through, because I write down the name of whatever I did. So if I went out to eat, I'll put the restaurant name and then my total. And as I was looking back, I was definitely eating and drinking a year away. I was not okay.
Right. Well, and the funny thing is, you know, let's just say at the end of the month, whatever, you're looking at this and you're looking at two or three different incoming expenses, right? Or incoming, you know, assets or whatever. And you're looking at daily outgoing at expenses, like, okay, today you had this, yesterday you had that. So it's like you get like a total of 20 some things out going out, but only like 4 or 5 things coming in. And it can be daunting, you know?
Very, yeah. Very crazy. That's when you have to ring yourself up and reel yourself in and say, okay, like what I tried to do toward the latter part of the year was, do I need this? Is it necessary? No. And that's kind of how I've been going about my days. And I'm becoming tighter again. Like we talked about years and years ago, how I used to say my fist was like this. And I'm trying to reel it back in because I've been doing and giving, you know, a lot. I got to do better.
Right, right. And we kind of were the same way too. Well, I can speak more for myself. I was the same way too, where, you know, I started, I guess, putting more out or like spending more on just unnecessary stuff, man. Like there's no reason on earth why I should have bought like a pillow, like a big ass pillow. And I'm like, what I need a big ass pillow for? And I got like four pillows on the bed. Like, I mean, there was no reason for buying that. There was no reason for me buying, like, I bought like three pair of headphones. It was a debacle. But
that's,
that's
you're a tech guy. You're very technologically savvy. You're very savvy when it comes to technology. So I get the need that you had for that item and the reasoning probably behind it. But yeah, three headphones.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Two of them are literally sitting collecting dust. I have one right here that I just pulled out. I just pulled this one out maybe about 3 days ago, 3 or 4 days ago. And then I have another one that I have that I use to record or whatever. And I'm like, I don't need... I don't know. It's So like you, it was one of those scenarios where a lot was going out. I actually had a very similar goal to you as well as in regards to trying to get to having like a 5-figure savings account. But what I ended up doing was I ended up using, I would say, 3/4 of that money. And because over time or whatever, my credit card bills started kind of piling up, getting higher and higher and higher. And, you know, I kind of fell within that same time frame or that same range of everyone else. And, you know, a lot of people in the country where they'll just pay the minimum balances and stuff. And so I said, OK, you know what? It's time for me to readjust this. I got to fix this, you know. And so that's what I did. So I ended up spending, you know, 3/4 of the money that I had to pay off the vast majority of my credit cards, right?
And
it left me with maybe about $2,000 left. And I was like, damn. Now, you know, and you know, it's almost like you lose that security blanket, right? Of having that. You know, I was at around right at about $8,000, a little bit right at $9,000. And I was like, you know, $1,000 less. And I had a bonus check coming in and I was going to hit that threshold of $10,000, like halfway in the year. And then, but then I said, no, I need to get this credit and I need to get all of this stuff back in check or whatever. So I ended up doing that. I ended up doing something else, which in retrospect, I should not have done. I'm even ashamed of saying this because this is actually the first time I'm actually going to talk about it. But I ended up taking out a loan in my 401k, right? So I ended up taking out like a $10,000 loan in my 401k, and then I used the $6,000 that I had already, and you know, I ended up using those $16,000 and just like literally paying everything down to like $400, like all of my credit cards down to like $400 or $500, so that way they were easily manageable. So in the event I need to be able to pay one off, then I can just immediately pay it off in seconds. So, and that's what I ended up doing, you know. So there was a method to the madness or whatever, but and then I ended up using that money. Also, I used that money because I had a loan through American Express. One of the beauties of being with American Express is that sometimes they'll also offer you like personal loans, and those personal loans are like at around 3%, 3-5% sometimes. And so I was able to use that money, and which is another thing in retrospect I should have did. But I had an existing loan with USAA at 14% interest, and so I only had like maybe about 2 years left on it. Well, I ended up taking a loan out with American Express to pay the rest of that USAA loan. So now that loan, instead of me having to pay $435 a month, I only pay $205 a month now. So, mm-hmm. you know, and I only pay that for like another, for like a year, a year and 5 months or something like that. And so, so I ended up, you know, I saw it in my head as the right thing to the appropriate thing to do. I was like, you know, I think that's the right thing to do or whatever. And in retrospect, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I did it. But, you know, people were asking or people were saying, well, why didn't you just continue to pay the $400 or whatever and you know, just be done in a year instead of now having to pay like a year. And I think I do like a year and 5 months. So mm-hmm. I'm paying like five extra months now for that. And yeah, that was a miss. But overall, right. You know, so overall it was that was the only thing really that I had to deal with. Mm-hmm. And things have gotten a lot better now in regards to like me being able to manage it and stuff like that. And so, you know, all of my bills are obviously paid in time and all that good stuff. But one good positive thing about it is I ended up hitting that 800 credit score.
Hey, let's go. Congratulations.
Oh, it was short lived now. I was at 804, yeah. And then now I'm back down to 794.
Yeah.
Because I took out that loan with American Express.
It keeps fluctuating for me. The highest I've gotten was 816. Mm-hmm. And now I'm currently teetering around 799 and 804 across all of the platforms that I check. So I check Credit Karma, Credit Wise, Credit Journey, Credit Mission, Credit Sesame, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. Like, I go to all of those different sites and I check it just to see. So, you know, Navy Fed has one you can check. Capital One has one. And then you have the outside sources like the Credit Karma, Credit Sesame. So I take them all and all of those numbers, I add them up and then I divide them and see what the average number is amongst all of those. That way I'll know, like, if I did go somewhere for like a car loan or any type of loan, I will have a roundabout figure of what number they may see. So I know that when I see 816 or I see 804, depending on what model they use to run credit, mm-hmm. they may see 755 or 765 because they're on a different scale, you know. So I just try and do an average just so I can see what it is. But I hit the 816 and I checked on, I think it was Credit Karma, maybe, but maybe it was Capital One's Credit Wise. Mm-hmm. And they said the reason why my credit score had been lingering at the number where it was lingering is because of my student loans. I hadn't made a payment on my student loans. Technically, last year I hadn't made a payment, but because the payments that I made during the pandemic, I got all of those back. Now it looks like I haven't made a payment in 3 years as opposed to just the 1 year. Mm. So that's what's holding my credit up, because that student loan balance is staying at where it's at since I'm not paying it. But January of this year, I've added that to my list of bills and I'm going to resume paying, even though I'm not obligated to pay. I don't want to wait on Joe Biden to see if he'll ever do it or not. I'm just going to continue paying it. And if he does forgive my loans at some point in time, then it is what it is. And if not, at least I'll be paying down my debt. So.
Right. I would definitely not have faith on the idea of knowing that he's going to relieve everybody's student loan debt, because, you know, that is a big hurdle to cross, you know, for anybody, because if you were to do that, then that will, I won't say it'll collapse the economy, but it'll hurt it significantly.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. You know, so. And not only hurt the economy, I mean, it'll hurt me, because that's debt that is on my credit report. And so if that debt goes away, then now it looks like I don't have any, because I don't have a car note. We've talked about how I paid my car off 2.5 years early a couple of years ago, but so there's really nothing on my credit report, so it'll bring my number down. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm willing to go ahead and start back paying, like during the pandemic and after. I had paid $2,500 on my student loan, but when he said that he was going to, you know, pay the student loans off, and if you made any payments in whatever year it was, 2020 or 2021, they said if you made any payments, you could get that payment back. So I called and I got all my payments back, and it sent me 24 checks. No, it wasn't 24. I think it was 48 checks, because all of the payments that I had made, mm-hmm. they sent me a payment for a check for each payment that I made. I mean, if it was $20, they sent me a payment. If it was $150, they sent me a check. Like, I have a stack of checks from them. And but that's besides the point. But yeah, it'll be a negative for me regardless. Now, how long will it stay negative? That's the thing I wouldn't know. I would have to go and either get some type of personal loan, or I would have to just go and buy me a car or something so that I could have something on my credit report, because without my student loans, there's really nothing on there.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I do kind of want to talk about that a little bit in regards to like what's, because something like that will get negatively, it will negatively impact your overall credit score, because even if it has been sitting there and, you know, there hasn't been any payments or whatever, it's still showing up as debt, right? And we all know the best way in order for you to be able to, you know, have a pretty sustainable credit score is if you have some level of revolving debt, something that shows that you're worthy enough to be able to pay this, right? So what do you say to people when it comes to stuff like that? Like, what do you suggest? Let's just say hypothetically that does happen, right? And you, at this point, you have to figure out a way to get your credit score back up again, because you're right, it probably will drop down. Let's just say if it is wiped completely, you're going to have to figure out a way to offset whatever it was that was in there. So do you suggest getting something that's equal value to where your debt was with your student loans, or do you recommend any other options?
So because debt to income ratio that they talk about, the DTI, is, you know, that's a thing. Mm-hmm. Let's just say my student loans are $20,000. Mm-hmm. Now, if I did get that erased off and there's nothing on my report, there's absolutely no debt, I would be okay with doing something maybe 10,000 less than a 20. So I would probably see if I could get, like I mentioned, a personal loan. Just money I don't need, and then just pay it back. Like, just let it sit wherever it's at and pay it back. Mm-hmm. Like, and that way I'll have some type of revolving or installments type of credit, and it's not as much debt as before. So that makes my debt to income ratio, you know, the window is not as tight toward my income, whatever that may be. So if your salary or your yearly income is $60,000, and then you have debt for $20,000. $20,000 to $60,000 is not that far, but if you had $10,000 to $60,000, you know, it's like that gives you more wiggle room if you needed to get something else, like if you needed a larger loan. So if you just only had your car, but you wanted to get a house, they're going to say, oh, you pay too many bills. Like your debt to income ratio is too tight. So I really don't want to give you this loan because I'm scared that you may not be able to pay it back. Well, if you get something a little bit less than that, then I think your DTI will be much better for you to have that wiggle room that you need. So I would just say replace it with something lower than what you had as far as the total amount. So like I mentioned, if you have debt of $20,000, it erases, I would go and get at least $10,000 or $15,000 worth of debt so that I could have that on my report. But also it's not too close to making my DTI too tight or there's no wiggle room.
Right. And for those who are curious to know exactly what we're talking about, what DTI means, it just simply means the amount of debt that you have compared to the amount of income that you're bringing in. And so using the example that you just said, if you have $60,000, if you make $60,000, or if you accumulate $60,000 and your debt is only $20,000, then that's that's a 33%. Roughly around a 33% debt to income ratio, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously the lower the debt to income ratio, the better your chances are being able to receive in like a credit card or a loan or a mortgage or a car or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So the goal is obviously to always have it as minimal as possible, but not have it too small to whereas.
Yeah. They don't trust. They're like, oh, well, nobody else is trusting you with money. You don't have anything you owe anybody. Nobody.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't trust that. I don't. yeah, your number looks high, but what? Where's your debt? Like, where's your? You don't owe anybody. It's just confused. Like, it just it doesn't look good for you. And those probably aren't the questions they're literally asking. But you know, it just doesn't look good. So it's okay to have certain debt, but you don't want to be so deep in debt that it causes you to look like, oh, you just over here buying stuff that you can't afford, huh? Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah.
Right. And that's one of the things we kind of transitioning over to one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, because that's been one of the biggest topics as of recently, last year particularly, is the bank fraud, right? And just the idea of how people are taking advantage of different, you know, banking institutions and different companies and stuff like that. You know, look, I just saw their eye roll just now.
Yeah. So, go ahead. I'll remember.
Okay. So one of the things I wanted to talk about, because I remember seeing a video, and all of this kind of ties into the whole idea of having debt and having, you know, income and stuff like that. One of the videos I saw a few months ago was a video which I will not explain who the person was or whatever, but who the guy was. But he basically said, you know, when it comes to getting credit cards and stuff like that, you know, going to a specific bank, you know, and you can go to that particular bank and you can lie on your application, you know. Mm-hmm. So let's just say, for instance, and which I'll talk about the bank because, you know, we're going to eventually get to there too, Navy Federal. You know,
right.
They had this big deal, this big thing last year called running the play, right? Where what some of these people would suggest you do is basically lie on your bank statement or lie on your application saying that you're making $400,000 a year or you're making $200,000 a year just so you can get a credit card for, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $25,000. Mm-hmm. Right. And so what a lot of people it was the video I was watching or whatever. It was like a live taping of it or whatever. And people were kept calling and they were like, you know, so what do I need to do to try to run the play so I can get, you know, this big, you know, because I need that in my life or whatever. I need money. I need that money. And I'm like, do you not understand that that's bank fraud?
Yeah.
And then I just saw recently that now Navy Federal is actually beginning to crack down on bank accounts, on what they call fraudulent bank or high risk bank accounts. So what happened was, I saw this video of a lady, apparently she gave out her code or something like that. So with Navy Federal, you can give out like a special code.
Yeah,
you can give out a referral code and it kind of automatically bumps you. Right. It bumps you to the top of the list in regards to getting what she ended up doing was she ended up charging people for her referral code. And what they would do is they would go in and open up fraudulent accounts. So much so to whereas now they actually closed her account because she was giving out her referral code to people who were in turn using their account to create, you know, a false, you know, credit card schemes or whatever.
Please, Louise.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it. I don't get why people feel they can do that and without any type of repercussions, you know?
Yeah.
So what I want to get your thoughts on that.
I hadn't heard about that, but Navy Fed, I guess. And I mean, when I first became a member with Navy Fed, I was like, wow, I like the perks as far as like the benefits of me having the savings account / credit cards. Like, they gave me a lower number than anybody had ever given me, and the amount that they gave me was more than a few of the two other credit cards I had at the time. And I did not know half of the things that was going on, and that's partly my fault that I hadn't done enough research on them. My sister had them and praised them, and then when I got a part of them, the same thing. But the access number is kind of like your referral, so they'll give you like, I guess it's maybe $50. I don't know, if you refer somebody and they open up an account. I think I gave my number to two people and I don't think they ever made an account because I never got no referral money.
I was one of them.
Did you actually open up an account?
Not yet, no. But I am curious to open it, though. I am really, really curious because of some of the perks that you told me about with Navy Federal. So I am still curious. I am still interested in opening that account and closing my Bank of America account because it's Bank of America. We know how it is with them. So, yeah.
And I don't think the other girl opened hers either then. So that's why I never got the money because it never... I mean, that's what my sister said, but they may have stopped their referral program because I honestly think that a lot of companies nowadays are stopping the referral programs because I guess it's more of a benefit. And like with you said, with the lady with Navy Fed, she's giving out her member number to these people in order to for them to utilize as like an ex, like, okay, you invited me, so this is my access to this company. But instead of me just using that access to gain and grow, do my own account, I'm creating an account with your information, your access number, and then doing fraudulent things with that. That could be the reason why they're stopping it. But I honestly had not heard about that. But the world and some of these people they're so smart that they're dumb because you're using your talent in a negative way when you can actually use that, turn that negative into a positive and use it somewhere where it's beneficial to all people and not a mishap for people. Because like this lady, now her account is closed. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure her funds were frozen in a process of them doing their investigation. Like that, the lady may have been doing some sneaky stuff with giving out her access number and requesting money on doing a trade-off, basically like a trade line, but charging them for it. But it's like, it's not really a trade line because it's not the credit card. She just had access to this bank that she was giving out seemingly. But I mean, that just, it's still just weird that that's the first place that people's mind go is to scam. But I said that, and I really wanted to say this when you finished talking. Recently, like as of a week ago or less, I heard about, what is it called? Locking or freezing your credit report. I had seen the ads like on Credit Karma was like, hey, freeze your credit report so that nobody can open up an account in your name without you knowing or whatever. But I never paid attention to it. As with most things, I see it, but then it's like, oh, I'm not ready for that. I'll look into it another time, and it never came around. Mm-hmm. Well, I was having a conversation with a lady at an office, and she was an employee there. And as we were talking, you know, I'm if somebody talks about money, I'm all ears, and we get to talking. So we're talking, but she start like after the conversation, I felt uneasy, and I'm like, she has access to my credit card number based on the information I filled out. Not credit card, my social security number based on the information that I filled out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and so we're talking about money and she's telling me certain things and I'm telling her nothing identifiable, but she knows that I'm not broke. I'll say that because, you know, I tell her how I save or how I invest. And she talked about how people, when they get their income tax, they go and buy a car instead of just getting the car that they have fixed, buy mm-hmm. them a little bit of time, mm-hmm. or they go and buy these lavish things and do all of this stuff. And then weeks later, they're broke again, waiting for the end of the year. And I'm like, oh yeah, this, that, and the third. So in general conversation, I'm saying things that I would tell anybody and on a podcast. And then after the fact, I'm like, wait a minute, I felt uneasy. And so I was telling my coworkers and it was like, lock your credit report. That way nobody can open anything without, you know,
your approval.
Yeah, they'll block it basically. And I was like, wait a minute now. So I went to Credit Karma and they said they were trying to charge me to lock it, but they said, no, you can do it for free. So I keep on digging and diving. And then I found where you can freeze your account and then you can unfreeze it at any time. That way nobody, it said most companies will not be able to get through. So I guess there are a few companies, you know, or maybe that's their safe word to be able to let you know that, hey, we're not saying it's 100% impossible for somebody to open up an account. We're just saying that most companies cannot get through. And so I went through Experian. I went through Credit Karma and all of the ones that I use. And I locked and froze my accounts where I could do so for free. And I also have identity monitoring and theft monitoring. I pay for that monthly as well. So I'll get emails and say, hey, this this email address was leaked on the dark web and you might want to change this passcode, and they'll show me the first letter and the last number or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. So yeah, so I learned about that last week, and I've been implementing that as soon as possible. I went to changing passwords. I went to locking and freezing everything I could, because there are scammers out here. And not that my money is not protected, because it is FDIC insured. I just don't want to go through the hassle of trying to get my money back or to go through that identity theft process. You got to show this and I didn't buy this, and I don't want to have to do that.
Right. 100%, because it's a hassle. I actually just dealt with that recently with T-Mobile Money. So there's two things I want to mention about that. One, before I mention the T-Mobile Money, going through the hassle of, you know, having to lock up your, you know, your debit card and everything like that. One thing that, which we may have discussed this on a previous episode, is the using your credit card for all of your expenses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching a video, and one of the guys on the video, he mentioned that he didn't even own a debit card. In fact, my wife Tana, she doesn't own a debit card. Because everything that she pays, with the exception of obviously the bills and stuff like that, is actually the mortgage is the only thing that that isn't, you know, paid with a credit card, but everything else is paid with a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, I don't need a debit card, because I don't see the value in having one, because I don't get anything back from it. And so the video I was watching with the guy or whatever, he said, I don't own a debit card. And the reason why is because, one, I don't get points for it. Two, if my card were ever to get compromised, then I have to wait weeks before I can get a hold of my money again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I started limiting the amount of times that I use my debit card now, because why not just have one card, like a credit card or whatever, that you can, like a runaround card that you can literally do what they call a daily driver.
Yeah.
You can do everything with that credit card, right? You can pay your bills with it. You can pay, you know, gas. You can get groceries and everything. You know, have one card for all things, like a catch-all card. And the reason why I say look into doing that is because with the T-Mobile Money situation, my car got compromised twice. My car got stolen twice in 1 year with T-Mobile Money. First time it got stolen in March of last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, it happens to people, you know, whatever. It took them about 2 weeks for them to recover my money. Thankfully, it wasn't a lot that they had taken out. It was like maybe $400 that they had taken out. Well, $400 is a lot to some people, but to us, it is. It's a lot. But it wasn't a lot compared to, you know, what I have in my other accounts and stuff like that. And so, you know, I was like, okay, $400. I mean, I was just kind of using that as a save all anyway, like, because, you know, I was able to get 4% interest, which, you know, I've touted that the last episode, I talked about how great T-Mobile Money and stuff was or whatever, because that was the only company that was the only bank that was giving you 4% interest. Right.
Yes.
In checking account. On checking account. So it got compromised. Okay, they had to send me another card. Okay, cool. I literally used the card twice, Angie, for the remainder time of the year, because at that point I had taken all of my money out except for $100. I only had $100 in that account, $105 to be exact. Don't you know, I was just randomly checking let me check my account, because it's been months since I checked it or whatever. So let me just check it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
My account was in the negatives, -$45. And I'm like, what the hell? I never used the card. Like, I don't understand what happened. They gave me a brand new card in March. I used it once and I haven't used it at all. And so this December of 2023, last year or whatever, or last month, they ended up, and my card ended up getting compromised again. And it was frustrating, because at this point, mm-hmm. I literally had to wait over almost a month, because it happened at the beginning of the month that my card got compromised, that I noticed it. And then I called him up on December the 3rd or whatever. I just got my money back last Friday.
Wow.
It's sickening, you know? So just imagine for people who has this card or who uses this bank specifically for bills and stuff like that, and you're having to wait almost a month to get your money back? No.
Yeah,
absolutely not.
I locked my card after having a conversation with that lady, and then also talking to my coworkers. I locked my debit card. Now, one thing, did it knock me out? Can you still see me?
Yeah, I can see you. I can see you.
Oh, mm-hmm. I thought I had my do not disturb on, but I still got a call. I don't know how that happened.
Well, what happens is if somebody calls you back to back, it'll go out first time. But if they call you a second time, it's going to ring.
Gotcha. Okay. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. So, what was I about to say? I got thrown off. You were saying,
your card
for the first time after having a conversation, mm-hmm. but I would hope that I would not have an issue with my bank because I literally only Zelle people money through there and receive Zelle through that account. Like mm-hmm. my bills are paid through it, but they're automatic, or I go in and set up the bill pay. But there are no, I don't do Walmart, I don't do Shell, I don't do Dollar Tree, T-Mobile. I don't do anything debit-wise. Everything is on my credit card. So I locked it, but I'm like, well, Angela, if you don't have to lock it because there's no activity that they can, if they see something weird, it's going to stick out like a sore thumb because you haven't used this card in almost maybe 2 years to buy anything outside of paying bills or right. sending money.
Right.
So, and it's my, you know, naive mind or my ignorant mind saying that, but I don't know how long they would actually take them. They could see that there's no activity on my debit card, but who knows? You know, these scammers are getting more and more advanced and they're using technology to their advantage. And this is kind of off topic, but it may not be. Like on Instagram, when you have these things that are telling you pick your favorite this or sign off for the places that you've been or, you know, all of these things. I'm like, y'all don't think that that's probably somebody who's, who's storing this information to kind of see what answers they could put in to figure out your password or if they got to answer a security question. Like, y'all don't think that people are, that's where my head goes. So I don't know. I just don't trust a lot of things. So like after having that conversation with that woman, I'm skeptical about a lot because I know how people are. Yeah. I know how they are.
Yeah, 100%. And you're absolutely right about that, Angie, because you don't know who is out here scamming you or who you don't know who's out here actually, you know, fishing for your information. So that way they can, you know, run up the money. On your behalf, you know what I mean? And so it happens every day. And as you said earlier, you know, the scammers nowadays are much more advanced than before. You know, at one, it used to only be where, you know, you'd have to steal somebody's credit card or whatever to get it. But now they have machines that you can use.
Yeah.
I just saw a news article about a month and a half ago at a 7-Eleven here in Dallas, where they had put some type of machine on top of the regular credit card machine.
Yes, I saw
that, right? So
crazy.
Yeah, it's so much more advanced now than it ever has been. And so that's why we have to protect ourselves, and you have to, so you taking those proper steps to be able to lock down your credit card, lock down your banking information and your debit card information in the event or your credit cards in the event somebody tries to, you know, take advantage of that and take your money and then just, you know, drain you dry. No, man, that's not even, you work too hard for that.
Work too hard. That's where I was going, like, and this year alone. And when I tell you I've worked this year like crazy. Mm-hmm. And I know that I'll be protected if it does. I just don't want to put myself in a position or even go through it. So if I can prevent it at any given moment, I will. I just don't want to be susceptible or even be a victim of fraud. And I know that I get on here and talk about money. And I know that, you know, somebody could be, their intentions could be wrong, or they could be. But I try and keep things to a generic, you know, conversation. It's not, too pointed, but I also want to be open and honest with people, because that's, I want to be that relatable person that you can come to and say this, this, that, and the third. And you won't believe how many people come up to me, whether they know me in real life or they know me from Instagram or Facebook. The first things that they'll say is something about, oh, how's your podcast doing? They say, oh, you really know, you travel a lot. Yeah. And then they'll say, you good with money. Like, you naturally are good with money. Those are the top three compliments that I get all the time from people. So mm-hmm. people know, you know, based on what I'm saying, and they trust me. And I tend to show, you know, proof of, now I'm not going to show you my full account numbers and everything, but I don't mind showing, like, this lady I work with, a good friend of mine, she had her son sit down with me. And she was like, look, I want you to show him the game. So I sat down with them and I opened up my apps and I showed them, look, this is how much interest I'm getting on this savings account. Look at the difference between this account and this other account. Look at this credit card. Look at how many points this one has and the interest rate. And look at this one. Like, I don't mind doing that just because I want people to know that, hey, yes, I am a regular person and I tend to do things with money, or I'm pretty good when it comes to it. But also it's attainable. It's not, I don't even make six figures a year on my job. Like, if you knew how much I made versus like what my net worth is, you'd just be like, well, how did you do it? It's because I'm cheap, I'm frugal. And I have a great relationship with money. My relationship with money, on top of my relationship with God, that's probably one of the best relationships I have, except for this year. We was going through a little tussle this year. You know, we had a little back and forth this year, but me and money still are good. Like, really, I am a money magnet. I honestly can say that no matter how much I spent this year or last year, I should say, let me change my mind, because it ain't happening this year. This year I'm on track. But no matter how much I spent last year, I still got money from, no matter where it was still a blessing regardless. And I don't take that lightly. I thank God all the time for the blessings I receive, because I'm not out here selling anything. I don't sell a product. And I say this all the time. I don't have a side hustle. It's just my 9 to 5. And then I'm blessed randomly all the time. And I'm grateful for that. Blessed enough so that it's like I get, you know, money, it comes to me and I'm grateful. So I want to protect that. I want to be a good steward over my finances. That's a shameless plug. I do have a blog post name, being a good steward over your finances. But yeah, that's just my thing. And I want to be as relatable and as open to people as I can, so that they can know that, hey, she at least showing us. Because you have people who say, this, don't do this, this, that, and the third. But mm-hmm. they, not that they have to show you, but it's like, do you really? Is it really? I don't know. And I'm just willing, because it is possible for any and everybody.
And it is. You're absolutely right about that, Angie. When it's all said and done, everyone can benefit from being able to be a lot more understanding of how their finances work and be more manageable of their money, or they can manage their money a lot better. You know, all you need are the proper tools, you know, the proper steps or whatever. And again, the proper tools to be able to go in and keep it sustainable, like keep everything sustainable. Like you say, you don't have a side hustle. You have a 9 to 5 job or whatever, but you have a pretty substantial net worth. And it's all because of hard work. You know, your dedication to what you're trying to, whatever your goals are that you're trying to accomplish, as well as the belief that everything will come to you as long as you be a steward of your finances, as you said.
Yeah,
it works. It really works.
It does.
So I do have one more question and then we're going to get on out of here. Okay. So I was going to talk about the Navy Federal, you know, the debacle with that and everything. But I think that's kind of already been beat down, you know, and especially when it comes to, you know, the disparaging numbers that came out with whites versus black getting approval and stuff like that. We kind of, look, it is what it is. We know about that and everything, you know, and eventually one day we will talk get a little bit more in depth with that. But as of right now, I do want to focus on how to be able to help you, the listener, to get right back on track for 2024.
Right.
How are we? One of the ways I think we are able to try to help the listeners in regards to getting some type of getting right back on track or whatever, right? Is mm-hmm. let's just say, you know, we have some people who are trying their best to kind of get back into the game or whatever. You know, they've had some issues or whatever, and some past, you know, involvements with credit and, you know, money and credit management and stuff like that. So I wanted to ask your thoughts on good ways or good credit cards to start off with to kind of get back to rebuilding your credit. I have a few of them on here, and I wanted to kind of get your ideas, your thoughts on those, because I know we probably...
Listen, and the first thing I usually do is I suggest Navy Fed to people. I really do, because I, you know, that's where I've gotten just the most, I mean, the amount of points you get per purchase, or the interest rate, everything, the amount that I, my balance, my limit, all of that has just been different from any other bank. But when it comes to like discrimination, I will cut a company off. I honestly will. Like, I will sever ties with them because I don't want to be affiliated with them. So the thing with Navy Fed is that I have a savings account with them, kind of, but not really. So it's really about the credit card for me. So technically, my money is not really tied up with them, but I utilize their credit card. So I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but credit, Navy Fed is who I would have suggested, first of all. And then I hear good things about Capital One, Quicksilver, or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't have Capital One credit card, so I don't really know about that one, but I hear great things about it. I really don't need another credit card. So it's like, if I did that, I would just be being greedy for no reason. I can't use all of these credit cards because I have like my two favorites that I use. So the main two I would suggest would be the Navy Fed, the Gold Rewards, and then Signature, which one is a American Express and one is a Visa. So
mm-hmm. Okay.
My top picks.
Well, no, which is good, because you've told me about those as well. Like, you know, which is one of the mm-hmm. reasons why I was interested in kind of going to Navy Federal, because I love me a good credit card with a really good interest rate, you know, because yes. some of these credit cards, man, the interest rates are like astronomical.
Yes.
The ones that I have here listed on here are for people who are just starting back. You know, mm-hmm. who are either one, just starting out with, you know, with credit, or two, trying to start back on the right side of things, right? Yeah, trying to rebuild it. So one of them is a Capital One card. It's a it's a Capital One secured credit card. Oh,
okay.
Mind you, let me say this as a little side note. A couple of these cards, they will require a security deposit. So, you know, and because it's a secured credit card, like, for instance, the Capital One secured credit card, the way it works mm-hmm. is obviously you put $200 down. I think the minimum is $200, and then you begin to swipe your credit. Yeah, you swipe your credit card based on that $200. So if you have $200 already secured in there, then your limit is that $200. And, mm-hmm. you know, obviously you pay it off whenever it's time to pay it, you know, pay it down at the end of the month or whenever your bill cycle ends. Another one is the Discover It secured credit card. That's another one too. It works the same, operates the same way. Okay. The third one is something that I saw called the Tomo card, T-O-M-O card.
Never heard of it.
I never heard of it either, but apparently it is one of the newer credit cards, like a fintech, like a financial technical or financial mm-hmm. institution or whatever. And they are, I think one of their main features is being able to help people get their credit rebuilt, you know, rebuild their credit again. So your credit limit may start off at like $500, but from what I've been reading, the more you use it, the quicker your credit limit increases. So like you can use it, you know, two or three times in a month or whatever, then you may end up going from $500 to $1,000.
Yeah.
So it helps. But again, that's another great one. And the fourth one that I was going to mention, surprisingly, is the Apple Card.
Oh, I have that one too.
You have that one? Yeah.
I do. I have it. I just got it this year. Mm-hmm. But it was because of the 12.75 or 12.57 interest rate that they had at the time.
Yes.
And also because they were saying, like, if you paid your, like, Panera Bread, Nike, T-Mobile, and a few other things that they had on there were you get three times the points. So I did get it because I utilized some of those companies. But, yeah, and so that's been very odd for me to maneuver having, like, the bank right here, like, mm-hmm. literally have the savings account, the credit card, all just tied into one, and really just everything is with it's just like swipe of your finger. That's new for me because everything is like I gotta sign into my account, mm-hmm. and yeah, I can pay my bills, but with this one, I can switch between my Apple Cash, my Apple Savings, and the credit card, like.
Yeah,
it's nothing. I don't know. It's just weird. It seems different. It may be the same as my other accounts, but I like it.
No, I do too. And one of the reasons why I consider that as my catch all card. That's one of my catch all cards is because of the convenience of it all, right? And the way now, and because if you do have Apple Savings, then obviously you whatever you spend, it can automatically go straight to either Apple Cash or Apple Savings. And right now. Yes. At the time of this recording, I want to say they are still at 5% interest right now. I think their interest increased to 5.something% interest now on their savings accounts.
Oh, okay.
So good. It's really good. Like it's a really, really, really good card. Obviously, the only downside is if you have an Android phone, then obviously you won't be able to apply for it. And also, they're actually going through some changes because. The company responsible for supplying the Apple Card, Goldman Sachs, has decided to cut ties with Apple. So,
what?
Yeah.
Now, how did I not know this?
Yeah, I just found this out. Somewhere around the middle of the month, the middle of December, Goldman Sachs decided to cut ties because I mean it was a cash loss for them, and so. Mm-hmm. So now they are in the process of trying to find another suitor for their credit cards. And the word is American Express will be picking up the bill for them, for Apple.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So, which is still good. It's still American Express, in my opinion, is the absolute best company to go with everything.
And American Express knows that as well.
Mm-hmm. They know that.
They go above and beyond with the perks and yep. the... You may pay a $695 yearly or annual fee for the Platinum Express, but then you get X amount of miles. You get the lounges. You get access to. Mm-hmm. It's like so much stuff you get. Yeah. It's like oh, that's nothing. Like your choice of hotels and stuff because they give you X amount of free rooms or free stays per year. I mean, there's so many great things I've heard about. American Express itself. Like I have cards that are from American Express, but I don't have anything that is, you know, directly tied to American Express. Everything I have is because of this company utilizing American Express logo on their card
yeah.
for this, you know, so I was tempted to do the American Express Platinum card because they had this 100,000 point sign up,
bonus, yeah.
Yeah, and it was when I saw the $695 yearly thing, but then you get $300 and something back and all mm-hmm. that. So it's like you're really not paying the $695. I just didn't want to add another credit card. And then I'm like, it has a yearly fee. I just can't see me doing that right now. But I know that I could have benefited from the perks, and I still can based on the traveling that I'm doing this year. So
I'm glad you mentioned that because that was one of the things I was going to ask you. Do you have a credit card that takes advantage of travel perks?
No, that's the reason why I was considering the American Express. And then somebody I know was telling me, he was like, look, you really have to. He said, you travel more than I do. And here's what I got with this, that. Mm-hmm. And I looked everything up. I really did. I looked it up and I did my research on it. And I'm just like, I really don't want to pull another trigger because as far as like getting another credit card, because the ones that I have, I use those for gas and for everyday purchases. And then I would have to stop using those to fully utilize the American Express one to get the fullness of it, because yes, I would need it for the travel, but I also don't travel that much. And then I also don't spend that much like they were requiring in a certain amount of time or something like that. So it just, it didn't work out for me at the time, but I believe that I am going to be an American Express cardholder straight through American Express at some point this year. I'm almost positive it's going to happen.
When, let me know when you are ready, because I mean, I've been an American Express cardholder since 2014. So I've had almost 10 years. Actually, yeah, it'll be 10 years. It'll be 10 years in May. Sure. Damn. Wow. So, but I've had everything from the green card to the gold card, the platinum card. I went back down to the gold card, and I had the gold card for some years. And I literally just went back down to the green card. The reason why I went back down to the green card is because, one, I wasn't traveling as much as I needed to, you know, to justify having the platinum card like I used to. When I was working back in New Orleans, I used to travel all the time. So So having the platinum card, it made sense. But whenever I moved to Houston, I went from the platinum card back down to the gold card. The gold card gave me a lot of great perks and stuff like that. But then I stopped using all of those perks because I ended up getting an American Express business gold card. And so I'm like, okay, well, now I'll just have a green card or whatever. And the green card is just as impactful. It's just as amazing as the gold card. Not as amazing as the platinum card, because as you said, like, there are so many perks that you get with the platinum card. However, I am going to suggest one to you instead of the American Express platinum one at the $695 fee, which, by the way, it actually pays. It pays itself off. You know,
it does.
It really does. It pays itself off, like, you know, within a year. It pays itself off, especially, you know, due to the amount of travel. But one that I am actually going to, at the time of this recording, I'm probably going to have it because I'm going to upgrade to it, is the Capital One Venture X card.
Yeah.
That is one of the cards. I just got some information about that one earlier this year. And because I am about to start traveling more, that card is a very, very, very good card. It gives you, it's a $395 yearly fee. Mm-hmm. However, they give you a $300 travel credit every year.
Yeah.
And you get global entry free of charge. You get access to the Capital One lounges, which at this time, there's only three or four of them available in the States.
Denver, I think. And I'm like, I'll ever go to Denver Airport. Like, what? Yeah, I looked that one up as well.
Yeah.
And I honestly, you know, I did my research, but go ahead.
Yeah. There's one in Denver. There's one in DFW. And then there's one in Washington Dulles. But they also give you access to something called Priority Pass. Are you familiar with that? Yeah. So Priority Pass is more or less a global network. So you can literally just walk into a lounge anywhere in the world if it's available with your Priority Pass membership, and you can just walk right in. So I already have the Capital One Venture card. And so I'm going to upgrade to the Venture X card because me like perks. I like my perks now. So
so how easy was it for, or is it, for you to switch back and forth between the American Express green and gold? And like, how is it just a matter of them, you just applying and then closing the other one, or how does that work?
It's a simple phone call. The thing about American Express, which is one of the main reasons why I look American Express over everything in terms of credit cards.
Right.
The reason why is because once you're in the family of American Express cards and, you know, products and services, then you automatically qualify for everything else that they have in there. Kind of like Navy Federal, right? Or USAA, where once you're in, then you're in. And so, to answer your question, it's just as simple as you making a phone call. Like, if you want to, I always recommend when people are getting an American Express card to start with the green card first, and then move from the green card to the gold card, and then from the gold card to the platinum card. Now, there's a certain time limit or time frame. Like, you know, if you're just starting with American Express, you may want to wait at least 6 months to go from the green card to the gold, or you can go from green to platinum if you want to. Mm-hmm. But you have to build up a rapport with American Express first. You know, like paying for stuff and then, you know, charging stuff, paying it back.
Right.
But once you do that, and once you have your 6 months in, then you can go and you can apply for anything. That's how I was able to get my American Express Gold business card, because I already had a pre-existing relationship with them.
Right.
Yeah. And so my relationship with them is strong. I've been with them almost 10 years. And so I was able to get that. So when I told them that, hey, I have a business now, you know, I'm looking to try to get, some type of business credit card or whatever. And she was like, oh, well, based on your profile, you qualify for the gold card. You qualify for other one, the platinum card too. And I'm like, I'm not going to pay $700 for that. But,
right.
But it's really, really simple. Like once you get into the game, and because you already have American Express, an American Express branded card, they may already have a profile on you, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely worth it. And once you're ready, let me know. I can send you a referral. That way you can kind of get access to whatever card is available. I don't know, man. Like, honestly, I would probably say for you, do you have Clear? The Clear? Okay. One of the perks. At the airport. One of the perks of having Clear, one of the perks of having American Express Green Card is because they give you access, they give you Clear access for free. So you basically pay it up front and then they'll reimburse you the full amount.
Mm-hmm.
One of the many perks of having the Gold Card is having access to like travel perks and stuff like that. Like you'll get like 3 points per dollar if you book through American Express Travel. I want to say you get like 3% on groceries and gas and stuff like that, or 3 points per dollar for gas and groceries and stuff like that. So it just kind of depends on which route you want to go. Even if you don't want any of the charge cards, you can go with the American Express. What is it called? The American Express Cash Card, I think, or the Cash Plus or something like that. It's a blue card, and you get 6% back on groceries. You get 6% back on gas, and you get 6% back on streaming services as well. So yeah, it's a really, American Express is, again, they can never do me. They can do no wrong with me. Yeah, they're the GOAT.
I want to just send me your referral number or referral code anyways, because like I said, I am traveling this year a whole lot. So I have 3 flights that need to be booked as soon as possible because March is almost here. So it's time for me to start booking flights. And if there's something I could use that's going to give me some 6-time points or 3 times the point per dollar, whatever, I'm here for it. And I don't mind paying a yearly fee if I have, you know, when I do take these trips, I can go sit in the lounge and chill and, you know, have food at my disposal or whatever I may need at the moment when I have a layover or whatever the case may be. So showers, all of those good things that they have in certain lounges and stuff. But as far as the Clear and going through TSA and all of the things, if I can minimize my amount of time and things that I have to do to go through all of those things and or assign a discount, all of that stuff, if I can minimize my time and make it easier, I'm willing. So yeah, send it to me and I'm for sure gonna look it up. But the Capital One Venture or Venture X is the one that the guy sent me, as well as the American Express one.
Yeah.
And I did my research, I just didn't pull a trigger.
I will say the Venture X card probably would be a better, I like the Venture X card better than the Platinum card at this time. The reason why is because it's cheaper. You know, you get pretty much the same perks. I mean, with the Platinum card with American Express, you get a few more perks. Like you get like lounge access to like, or not lounge access. You get like access to like these high value gyms, these high priced gyms and stuff. But the Venture X card, I think, is one that I know I'm getting that one because just for the access to the global entry and then, you know, for priority pass, because it's the cheapest game in town. Like it's because Chase has one called the Chase Sapphire Reserve card. And I think that one is like $550. Citi has one called the Citi Premium something. And then, the Capital One Venture X card is the only one that actually is a really good price. It's a really good value. $395 is the yearly fee or whatever, but you get $300 in travel credits. Like literally, and you can use those $300 towards travel if you go through Capital One Travel, which I've looked at all of the different travel sites, like the third party travel sites, like American Express Travel, Capital One Travel, City Travel. Capital One Travel is by far the easiest and much more and cheapest one of all of them. So that's the reason why I'm going with the Venture X card.
Okay.
But it's worth it. It really is worth it, in my opinion.
I believe you. So. And the other person, like I mentioned, he was singing their praises. And he's like, look, I know you got a lot of credit cards. He said, but I really think you're going to like this one. He said, on top of all the traveling you're planning on doing, you'll wipe this $2,500 out that you have to spend within like 30 days or 90 days. He's like, you'll wipe it out like quick, fast, and in a hurry. He's like, I already met my mark. May have been $1,500. I can't remember. He was like, I already met my mark and I still got 60 days left, or however many days he had left. But he sang its praises. So you mentioning that and everything that I'm getting ready to do, it might be something that I'm really going to have to pull a trigger on. Like I said, I did my research on it. I looked it up. I did the comparison and everything. And I'm like, well, yeah. But I think, you know, I was just kind of leery because it's like, well, I don't need all of those, you know, the lounge access or all that. I don't need that because I go with people. And if they don't have it, then I'm going to feel bad for like leaving them out of line or in line or whatever, you know. But if it's going to help me in the long run, like if my overall cost going to come down and I'm not paying an astronomical price for something where I can get it cheaper, or it benefits me in the long run, so I'm paying for it, but I'm also getting cash back, or I'm paying for it and I'm also getting three times the points per dollar or three, you know, I want it to work for me in any way that it can. So when I get to work, I won't be able to do it tomorrow, but Wednesday, I'm for sure going to look it up because like I said, I have to start booking some flights. So,
okay. Yeah. One thing I do want to say before we end this is that with the Venture X card, you actually get access to, you get two people that you can bring with you into the lounges. Yeah. And with the priority pass, it's unlimited. You can bring as many people as you want with you. So if you are traveling with other people, as long as they have their itinerary and you have yours, or you're boarding your flight itinerary, then you can get in and they can get in free of charge as well.
Okay.
So, good talk. Good talk as always.
We have to do this again. We do have to talk about the Navy Fair thing. And, I'll have better notes I will have notes next time to really dive into some things that have changed that I've learned over the course of the last time that we talked, which was a year and some change ago. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm here.
You know, I'm always here for it. So let's reconvene then, like in about a month or so, we can kind of follow up on some of the things that you've done, some of the things I've done to try to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, a month into the new year, what are you doing differently? Because I did recognize that within everything that I messed up with this year or last year, that I have to revamp my whole budgeting strategy. Like I really have to go in and figure out a way that I can make it better and seamless and not like, wait a minute, you know, so we can do a month after the first quarter and come back. But a month is good because I'm sure I'll find something that I can revamp in that time and come back with better, bigger and better. And I wanted to show you real quick the sheet that I was talking about with the incoming and outcoming fund. Yes. Outgoing.
Yes.
You see the difference? Like,
wow.
Daily, almost daily, and then not a whole lot. That's December. This one, barely nothing. And then every day I got something over here, almost every day for the most part, you know. So I really utilize my sheets. I really do. And you got nothing here and pretty much something there. I do these faithfully. Like this is my go-to and this is September, but I do it yearly. And then after the year, I combine them, I put them off to the side. So that way I'll come back and revamp and look at things and see where was I really spending my money? What was I doing?
Right.
And stuff together, you know?
Well, and one of the things, and for the people that's listening, if you were to see this sheet these sheets that she brought up, literally one side of it was like fully written out and then the other side only had like four or five things that was written out. And so I am going to add this to the bottom of the show notes so that way you can have direct access to that sheet. Because you're right, Angie, it actually helps you be able to see where your money is going. Not only does it help you see where your money is going, but it also helps you get a much better understanding of how you're spending your money. And that's what's important, you know?
I definitely get high off my own supplies. So I utilize it, I mean, consistently, and I'm going through it. But I've even found where I can make some changes on this sheet. So I'm going to revamp it. They're on a website. He said he's going to link it, but there's another sheet that I'm going to come out with. I have three currently. I have the net worth calculator. I have the bill or budgeting sheet where you calculate your monthly bills. And then I have the spending tracker. So it's three different ones. And when I tell you, people really go on the site and they download it, I'll see 17 downloads for the day. And I'm like, really? It makes my heart smile because I know that people are utilizing it. So I'm grateful. And I would say over the 4 years, I think that I've had the sheets up there, maybe a good 3,000 to 4,000 downloads of the sheets. And it just makes my heart smile because that's something that is helping people. They're coming back to download it again or to get a new one or whatever, however they're doing it. But I appreciate it. So thank you all. Thank you all for downloading, and hopefully I'm helping you. And Eric, thank you as always for having me. And the talk was great. I'm going to do my research on Wednesday, and I might pull the trigger. So don't forget to send me your you have one for Capital One, right? Yeah. Referral.
I do. I have a referral for Capital One and one for American Express. So I'll send both of them to you probably in about an hour or so.
Okay. Thank you so much. It was great. I enjoyed this wholeheartedly. I love talking to you.
I know. Me too, yo. It's so fun and so fascinating because the one thing that we can always talk about is money, right?
Yeah.
You can never.
For sure. You're telling me something that I was not aware of, and I love to hear it because I don't know everything, nor do I proclaim to know everything. I just know what works for me, but I'm always willing to grow and try other things, and I want it to benefit me in the process. So.
Yes, 100%, 100%. So thank you so much, Angie. And till the next time, ladies and gents, we will definitely see you all again soon.
Absolutely. Y'all can find me over at SincerelyAngieM.com.
Yes.
And he'll link thing below. But yeah, SincerelyAngieM.com. Thank you all so much for listening. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I'm so sorry. Such terrible manners. I should have told you to shout your stuff out, but it's all good though.
Oh no, you say, so that's fine. And if they don't know me by now, they sleep. They better wake up.
I know, man.
I've been podcast so many times, and you've been on mine. Right. Yeah, they should know by now.
Exactly. I mean, you're a family member. Like, you cooking everything over here, so yeah, it's all good.
Yes.
So, all right. Thank you, guys. Y'all have a safe one, and we will definitely reconvene again soon.